here's the point. We know who the victor is. We've already won. We're going to be with him, and it's just a matter of time. And, you know, God is not up in heaven wringing his hands, okay? He's looking down, and he's just wanting you and I to take our position and to trust him and to bring honor and glory to him in these times that we live in. But I want to read this as the text verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." Now it says therefore, and what that really means is because of these things. And we're going to get to these things in just a minute. But I believe it's important for Christians to be steadfast, to be consistent in the way that we live our lives. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, in verse number 14, there's another verse that came to my heart that goes kind of along with the same thing. It says, "Wherefore," and it's speaking of something, it's pointing backwards. And what it's talking about, if you go back to verse number 12, is the coming of the day of the Lord. Because the day of the Lord is coming, he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Now, we could preach on being steadfast, and here it says, be diligent. Now, the therefore and the wherefore is because we're not here forever. There's a day coming that we're going to be with the Lord, and I believe being steadfast means being consistent, okay? Be consistent. You are following the right God, so be consistent, okay? I know there's a lot of different teaching. This morning, you know, as they begin to bring the presentation, I wonder if it stuck out in everybody's heart and mind when they showed the coast. And they showed that place where all the Hindu followers and worshipers go to the coast. And they dip themselves in the water, believing that dipping at that one place will cause them to be clean or right. Okay? Now, it makes them righteous. And, you know, of course, what they're looking for is eternal life. Okay? But we are following the one true God. The scripture says, I love that verse, says one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So be consistent because you're following the right God. Be consistent because you're on the right track. If you're a Christian, you're saved by the grace of God, that's the right track to follow. You know, sometimes in our life we walk through places that we're seeking the direction of God more than the others, but you got to be consistent. Well, how do you know how to follow the will of God? How do you know the will of God? And this is what I've learned, is to know the will of God for tomorrow, you start by doing God's will today. If you want to know what God's will is for you, start by being obedient in the things that He's already revealed to you and explained to you. Sometimes the reason we can't get God to speak to us and give us the direction that we need is we're not walking where we're supposed to be right now. And I think that's very important, that we be consistent. We're on the right track. Be consistent because we have a reason. And here's something that's really on my heart as a dad, as a pastor, as a preacher. And you know, sometimes, and I had a conversation with Brother Allen a little bit ago, and I said this, I don't care if you take the name pastor and you stick it over here. I don't have to be called pastor. Some people, when they, you know, they reach a status as a pastor, they want to be called reverend. They want to be called bishop. I even heard a man one time in church scold a young person because they called someone by their first name. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I'm not the reason. It's not about me. But you know why my heart's desire is to be at the house of the Lord? My heart's desire is to not quit. My heart's desire is to not be discouraged. It's because we have many that are following us that need somebody to show them the right way. Now, I have two boys that are here tonight, and I talk about them a lot when I preach. But, folks, I love my kids, okay? Y'all love your kids, amen? You know, but when I look around me and I look at everybody else's kids, I want you to know I love your kids too, okay? And the reason that I want to preach is because we want them to know that following God is the right way. We have a reason to be steadfast. Now, another one is we have a reward. I want to tell you something. This is not the end. Okay, I've come to the point in my life, if this were it, what did Paul say in one place? In the 32nd verse, we're going to get into this chapter in just a minute. He said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what doth it profit us, if the dead, what advantageth it me, if the dead rise not? In other words, if this is all there is, okay, and when we die, we're just like a guy I work with believes that you're like a German shepherd. He believed you go in the ground, you turn to dirt. You know what that means? Nothing you done matters. That means no memory that you have will you carry with you. You know the Bible says in heaven that we will know as we are known? Here's what I want you to understand. What you do today is not in vain. It matters for today. It matters for eternity. I believe that with all my heart. Because when we get before the Lord, the way that we've served Him here, it's not just heaven. Heaven is my home, but we're going to stand before Him and we're going to be rewarded, the Bible teaches, according to how we followed here. That's why when we walk around and we stick our chest out, a lot of times, didn't Jesus say they have their reward? Okay? But what about the humble servant that's obedient and steadfastly follows the Lord sometimes when nobody even pays him any attention? This verse of Scripture right here, this 1 Corinthians 15:58, is the verse of Scripture that speaks to me about my dad, my father, my earthly dad. When he passed away, this is the scripture that I put on his footstone, because that was the example of the life that he lived before me. Now, folks, I want to live that life before my kids. And this is the words that I have carved as his epitaph, is not in vain. You know, what you do for the Lord is not in vain. That's why we want to live our life steadfastly for the honor and glory of God. So many times people think that things in this world are important when things in this world are passing and they're fading. You know, and it intrigued me this morning when they spoke about Brother Justice and they said, financially, he takes care of himself. He's got a farm. He doesn't even take a salary from the ministry, and he could leave India, a place where he's oppressed, a place where the gospel is actually really trying to be stopped, because the Hindu-led government, they don't want Christianity to grow. They don't want Christianity in schools, really just like America's headed right now. Okay, but he could leave that country, leave that oppression, and go live a peaceful life and retire. But he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be steadfast. Why? Because what you do for God is not in vain. Amen? Now, be steadfast. I want to talk about tonight. The first thing is be steadfast in light of some important things. In light of them. It's like they come to mind, or they become very important when you think about being steadfast. And the number one thing, folks, is eternity. Eternity. Eternity is a very long time. Eternity is forever. Now, here's sometimes what we struggle with a finite mind. We don't have eternity. According to the Scripture, we have 70. That's just a limited number. And they say, I heard them on the news this week, they say Americans are living longer than ever. Okay, well, let's just say you get 100 years. That's not very long. You see, because according to what I understand, a man's time has been about almost a little over 6,000 years. Okay? And if we begin to think about it, 100 years, and here I am a half a century old, that's not very long. But eternity is a very long time. I heard a message about a preacher, and this is a true story. He was in Australia, and they called him Mr. Eternity. Mr. Eternity would, everywhere, he would get up and early in the morning, and all over the sidewalks in the town that he lived in, he simply wrote the word eternity. Could you imagine going down to Atlanta to the sidewalk with a big piece of chalk, eternity, all over the sidewalk? In front of the Capitol, eternity. In front of the court buildings, eternity. You know, people would see it. Sometimes people would complain. Sometimes people would laugh. Sometimes people would mock. But people would come out. They got used to it every morning, coming out of the apartment building, and they would see the word eternity written. Until one day, it stopped showing up. And people start asking the question, what happened to Mr. Eternity? And somebody finally spoke up and said, he's gone out into eternity. Because when you leave this life, Doesn't the scripture say, and I believe it with all my heart, as a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, when my dad passed away, that scripture was really on my heart. And I believe my dad's with the Lord right now. I believe I have other loved ones that are with the Lord. And Brother Jonathan Wilburn at this singing we read a couple of weeks ago, and I've already mentioned this, when he was talking about the man that was the member of Gold City that died in the car crash right down the street from the church and how difficult it was. He said, but here's something very profound for Christians, is they're not lost if you know where they are. You know, my dad, he's not gone. He's with God. Miss Deborah Gillum is not gone. She's with God. Brother Gerald Kelly is not gone. He's with God. The other loved ones that you have lost from this earth, folks, they've just stepped into a place that you and I should long for when the time's right. And it was mentioned this morning about Pastor Quinn. They said, you know, most people when they get to heaven wouldn't come back. But I want to tell you something. I believe that a man of God that understands eternity would come back long enough to see everyone that he could save. You know, the truth is, I don't believe Brother Quinn's the only one. You know, because I believe that the Scripture, although it teaches us that I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Here's why. With a finite and a limited understanding in our mind, we cannot fathom the glories of heaven. You see, I was out in the mountains this weekend. Now, you know, Pigeon Forge is a hard place to see the Lord. So I had to go to the mountains to get out of that traffic. But I got back in there and I got on this bridge and I was looking at the tree limbs overhanging and I was looking at the mushrooms growing and I was looking at the flowers and I was watching the water rushing over the rocks. And I thought about that song that we played last Sunday morning before service. Sometimes He whispers. Sometimes His voice is louder than thunder. Sometimes it's a fire all-consuming, but sometimes He whispers. And as I rode through and I looked at those mountains and I looked at those streams and I looked at those wildflowers and we saw those animals, I could hear the voice of God. When the sun came up, I saw Him. And as great as what God's created here is, it's just a fraction or a point of the pen for what God has prepared. But you know, the scripture goes on to tell us, although eyes not seen it and ears not heard it, He said, yet He hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. That's why sometimes God gives you a peek. You ever had a loved one go out to meet the Lord and God gives you a dream about them? Every time that I see my dad, we're in church. I've had other preachers in my lifetime that I've worshiped with that have been an inspiration to me. Every time I see them, whether it be in a dream or a vision, whatever you want to call it, we're worshiping together. And I want to tell you something, that's when I'm the happiest. And there's going to come a time in eternity, it's important, eternity, be steadfast because eternity is real, eternity is long. Be steadfast because Jesus rose from the grave. I want to read to you out of this chapter, chapter number 15. Now this chapter's got 58 verses. We're not going to be able to read them all. Be steadfast because Jesus rose from the grave. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. In verse number 2, it says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that verse 3 and verse number 4, that's some of your very popular verses with Awana. We want them to know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's according to what the prophets wrote thousands of years before it happened. That Jesus was going to come, He was going to die for our sins, He was going to be buried, and He was going to rise again according to the Scriptures. Now be steadfast, because Jesus rose from the grave. Okay? Now if he didn't rise from the grave, what difference does it make? And sometimes this is what I don't understand for people who don't believe or accept the Lord as their Savior. If you don't believe there's a God, what difference does it make anything you do with your life? What difference does it make? Why educate? Why do anything? It is our Father's world. And the truth is, everything we do matters. We ought to be steadfast because He lives. Now, folks, because He lives, we can live. Because He lives, we can have hope. In verse number 20, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, He lives. It's like the song that we sing, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future." You know, there are going to be things in our life, things in my life, things in your life that are going to challenge you to the point that people are going to question, is there even a purpose to live? We see it. We deal with it. Even the best Christians sometimes come to the point that they need to know that He lives. And that's why it's so important for us to be steadfast and be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Another reason to be steadfast is because, and this is in the same chapter, because we'll have a new body. Look down at verse number 35. The Scripture tells us, it says, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? It says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it shall chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, to every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another of beast, another of fish, and another of birds, and there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies." That means earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. It says, "But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is one. There's one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars, and one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead." And this is where we need to pay attention. "It's sown in incorruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in honor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power." Now here's where we get to where we need to understand. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now, this body that we have that's walking around here, we have to have knee replacements, we have to have glasses, we have to go to the doctor and get pacemakers, we have to go to the dentist, we have to, you know, we get to the point sometimes, I tell them, I don't have Alzheimer's, but I do have sometimers. Because everybody in this church, I know your name. But Sunday morning when I'm making announcements, if I don't write your name down beside it, I forget what to call you. We have a natural body that's limited. But the Bible says in John in the 4th chapter that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're going to have a new body. Now remember, you study about Jesus. He came and He sat with those disciples and He ate. But when He got up from eating with them, He walked through the wall. That's hard for you and I to understand, but it's what every person, every religion of the world longs for. It's what the Hindus go to the ocean and dip for. It's what the Muslims that commit jihad trying to find everlasting life and reward for. But for you and I, we be steadfast because Jesus rose from the grave. And He got a new body. We're going to have a new body, and it's going to be one like unto Christ. And if you go on down, we can be steadfast because we have victory. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption, but I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, if you go back and you can read, they're going to have a new body. A new body. Okay? And this is something that I believe we're going to know who they are. And I do believe that we'll know as we're known. Remember when Jesus was over there at the Mount of Transfiguration and his disciples were with him and he was transfigured before them and he began to glow so much. And they looked and they saw Moses and Elijah with him. How did they know who they were? Except the Spirit revealed it to them. But they recognized them and he communed with them. And I believe there's going to be a time we'll have a new body, but we're going to know who we are. And we're going to be able to worship. And it's so great, we can't even fathom it with our heart and our mind. But it's something for us to long for and to be steadfast for and to look forward to. See, we have victory. It says in the 53rd verse, "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal immortality. So then, when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ." In the movie, God is Dead, there is a scene where the professor is hit by a car. And he goes up in the air and he tumbles down and he's on the ground and there is a preacher and a missionary that divinely by God are there. That's what they're trying to portray, is that sometimes, and this is what we want, God to intervene in our life, that he's using us in ways that we can't even imagine ourselves. That's what we want. But they get out and they go over and the man's laying in the street and the rain's falling and they lead him to Christ as his lungs, according to the show, are filling up with blood where his lungs have been punctured by his ribs. And as they lead him to Christ, they make this statement to him about the Lord. And he said, "I don't understand everything." And they said, "It's okay, in just a few minutes, you're going to know more than any of us." And they made that statement, and I preached this word, but what we need to do is understand it and believe it, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That when we close our eyes in death, we open them in his presence. And it's going to be glorious. It's something to be steadfast for. Now, I like this part. But that's not all there is there? And we were up there and Brother Roger was preaching to our youth. He got all of us leaders together and he just poured it on us first. I mean, he just tore us a new one. And he put it on us saying, you know, we're going to ask these young people to go out into a world where they're going to be rejected, where they're going to be made fun of, where political correctness has said it's foolish to be a Christian. It's okay to go to church as long as you don't say that Jesus is the only way. As long as you don't say that, well, certain things are against God and they're against God's word, and we're not going to be tolerant of them. You see, I preach be steadfast in light of all these things. Folks, God has a heaven for us. But how about this? We need to be steadfast in spite of some things. In spite of some things. We need to be steadfast in spite of abounding deceitfulness. See, we're living in a world today, and I want to read this scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1 through verse number 3. Says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together in Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, folks, we're living in the times of the falling away. We're living in the times to where it's okay to be a Christian as long as it hadn't changed your life. That's pretty much it. You can be a Christian, just come do everything we do. It's okay to say you're... When you believe the Bible, sometimes to be steadfast, it's going to have to be in spite of what you're seeing around you. You know, it also, I've got here to be steadfast in spite of approaching darkness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse number 1, says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." And then it says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify," which means to build up or lift up one another, "even as also ye do." Now, we're privileged to be able to be here in the house of the Lord. But there are people meeting in basements. There are people meeting where they have to have a watch person out front to tell if the officer or if the government or if their police are coming down the street. Now, all I want to tell you is to be steadfast in spite of what's going on in the world that you and I are living in. Amen? We don't know what's coming next. You know, we could say the next is be steadfast in spite of abandoned direction. You go over to Romans chapter number 1, and it talks about abandoning direction. It talks about worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. It talks about a group of people that call themselves wise, but they've abandoned the Word of God. They've abandoned God Himself. You know, the Bible tells us that in the last days they would be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's why people get more and more educated, but they get farther and farther away from God in our country. It doesn't do you any good to have 2 doctorate degrees from the best Bible college in the land if you don't believe the Bible. And unfortunately, that's the kind of preachers that are being graduated from a lot of these big schools. And you say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, I told you a couple of weeks ago about what happened to Harvard. It's no longer Christ and truth. It's just truth. But truth without Christ is not truth at all. So we need to be steadfast in spite of these things. And here's the verse for us. And these are some of the verses that in that movie, God Is Dead, when the young man had to go up against the professor. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You see, if we deny Him before this generation, the Bible teaches us that He will deny us before the Father. I do not want to be denied before the Lord. See, I want to stand before Him and be able to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But I honestly don't feel like that what little I can give is much. But I want to be consistent. And I believe that's what this scripture is teaching us. And I want to give you these last points. We want to be steadfast in light of some things, in spite of some things, but in because of some things. We want to be steadfast because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm sure all of you have heard that saying. You know, you look at somebody and you know somebody and you just kind of make this comment. You ever heard this said? "She's so vain." We've said that, we've thought that, we've heard that. You know, the truth is, a lot of what's in this life is vain. It's vanity. It's not going to mean anything in the end. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, the only things that are really going to matter is who you loved, who loved you, and what you did for the Lord. You know, I don't understand why they put people in the coffin and they dress them all up and they put thousands of dollars worth of gold on them and they stick it in a hole in the ground. It ain't going nowhere with them. Never seen a hearse with a U-Haul following it. My boys, this week, we pulled up and yesterday from running out to get about to eat, and we come back, and it was storming. I mean, it was bad. And we debated. We timed it. We're going to count 1, 2, 3. We're going to jump out. We're going to run in the door together. The lightning's not going to hit us. The pizza's not going to get too cold from the rain. And Matthew said, Dad, we need a big barn in the backyard, so we can clean our garage out so we can park in it. Now, folks, you know what a barn is? That kind of barn, it's an outside closet. Okay? And I got my stuff. Most of that stuff's mine and the boys, okay? I admit that. But you know what? When my time comes to go, somebody's going to get all that. It's not going to matter. And it's not that any of that's wrong. I mean, I enjoy my stuff. You enjoy your stuff. It's okay to enjoy your stuff. But we really need to understand what's important. And when I look at it, one thing to understand about this verse, it doesn't say anything about that stuff. It says what you do for the Lord is not in vain. You see, we need to be steadfast because our labor and our work for the Lord is not in vain. God is watching. There's a song that I think Bette Midler sings. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. Now here's something I believe God does. He sees us close. He sees us far. See, because God is right in the midst. He's not off in the distance. He's right here. In fact, if you're saved by the grace of God, He's in here. And everywhere you go, you take Him. That's why as a Christian, it's important you go to the right places. That's why as a Christian, it's important that you look at the right things. Because what you do for the Lord, it's not in vain. God is here, God is in us, and God will not forget what we do for Him. See, God's grace is not in vain. If you go back over to the 10th verse in the same chapter, it says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And then it says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And it seems like he's boasting, but listen to what he says. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, when we're able to stand and we stand, I couldn't even do it. You couldn't even do it if it weren't for the grace of God. But I want God's grace to be manifest in my life. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is priceless. And here's something else to understand. One of these things. Our purpose is not vain. See, our purpose, and I want the purpose of this church to be this. We want to see as many people as we can saved by the grace of God. That's my heart's desire. But I want to see God's children grow. I want to see anybody that's saved by the grace of God grow in your relationship with God. And I'd love to see this church get bigger and bigger and bigger. But here's something I'd never want to see. I'd never want to see the church grow in number, but become cold in spirit. I'd rather have just a few that are excited and you can come in and feel the presence of God than to have a vast number that's just going through the motions. You know, we want to understand that our purpose is to glorify and lift up the name of the Lord. We need to be steadfast because one day judgment's coming. There's a verse in the Old Testament, and God willing, I've got a lesson. I've been working on a message that uses this verse. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of man is continually set in him to do evil. Now, I'm glad God's long-suffering. But one day that long-suffering is going to come to an end. You know, as I look at my life and I look at the lives of people who have been an inspiration to me, and I've heard talk about Pastor Quinn today, and honestly, I'm going to tell you, I wish that I could have known him. I really do. But it just wasn't in God's plan. There was a time when Kendra and I were looking for a church. When we went to Macklin, we went to Pleasant Grove, I think it was on a Wednesday night or something, and they were having a conference meeting or something like that. I'm not sure what it was, but we never actually had a privilege to go to a service there or hear Pastor Quinn preach. It just wasn't in God's plan. It was God's plan, I think, for things to work out like they have. But, you know, I look at this verse and preachers that I've grown up with in my life come to my heart and my mind. Now, I've already mentioned my dad, but another pastor that I've followed really a lot of my life, I guess you could call him my dad's pastor, his name's Harley Kimmons. And he lives up in Cumming, and he has Alzheimer's. And a lot of times he doesn't know who anyone is, and a lot of times his wife says he doesn't even know who she is. But this is what they told me. She said, every time you go see him, he's sitting and talking with the Lord. Lived his whole life for God. But here's what I want you to understand. God has not forgotten Harley Kimmons. And I believe it's not going to be long, if Jesus don't come back, that Harley Kimmons is going to be with the Lord. That's why it's important when we read that verse, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, a lot of things you'll do in this life, they're just vain. But what you do for God is not in vain. Amen. I hope something I said tonight was a blessing to you. I would like just to sing one verse of Amazing Grace if we could. If we could come to the piano and stand and sing together. And you know, it's important to me. When we come to the house of the Lord, this is a sanctuary. This is holy ground to me. You know, this is a place that when we come in here, we ought to be able to come in. Anything on our heart, bring it to the Lord and give it to Him. And I hate tonight to go home without at least singing one verse. If anybody's got anything on your heart that you'd like to pray about tonight.